Vincent has been here for almost a month now, and what are the main points you would like him or anyone in this situation to go?
No idea. Whatever comes.
This moment. Anything you would like to hear more about?
Sampajanya.
Sampajanya.
What is the reality of Sampajanya?
Panya.
Yes. What level?
Many different levels. Pariyati, Patipati, or all different Vipassana Jnana, 16 stages.
A moment of understanding.
Oh.
Because this is Panya. Mm. But when it's not with the direct awareness, it's not Sampajanya. So Sthipatthana and Sampajanya must be direct awareness, more than just usual, because Panya is there, no matter weak or strong. So now it's not Sampajanya, only when it's directly aware.
I think Sampajanya is also used, the word in for Panya and the development of Samatha. Sampajanya can also be used in
even Africa. So that is different.
Different,
because,
but it's still used, yeah, in that
because
context.
Samadhi is strong.
When Samadhi is strong, yeah, can also be referring to Sampajanya.
But yeah, when we talk about Patipatthana and
then
Sampajanya,
and
it means
only
the,
yes, yeah.
It's not just the word to remember, but to understand the difference level. So very different. Intellectual understanding cannot be the Sampajanya with sati. But the Thai use the Pali word very loosely, like anything is sati sampajanya. But it's not at all.
Just like they use satipatthana
They just want to jump to satipatthana, and the meditation center urge them to just do, to have sati sampajanya, no understanding, and wrong understanding.
I think you've also talked before about even when people have studied quite a lot, when they have previous accumulations for meditation, there can still be lurking ideas of practice or doing something or closing eyes or going to a special place. And
as long as it's not the direct understanding of reality,
then still,
yeah, no way to do anything now to,
yes,
to have it.
Even subtle ways,
yeah,
will come in. I've got a question about root and cause, like when we read about lobha or craving as the chief root of suffering. Root and cause the same? Like hetu as the root or the cause, any difference?
It depends on what's the meaning, like cause for direct or just ordinary.
For example, when we talk about the second noble truth, the cause of suffering. And
yes, but when we talk about karma is the cause and vipaka is the result.
Yes.
See?
So the main...
It depends on the meaning.
So lobha is the main, like in the second noble truth, lobha is the main cause of suffering, the main, and lobha is the root. The
main hetu. As root.
Sorry?
Main as root.
Main as root, this is what's meant. And when it talks about, sometimes we read about chanda as, sometimes it uses chanda, obviously it's chanda with lobha, but sometimes it talks about chanda as mula or chanda.
But it cannot be hetu.
No, but just as cause with lobha. And sometimes pasa, samudya, achaya, kanda, samyuta, or sometimes it talks about pasa as the cause.
As ahara pachaya.
As ahara only.
Fear by pachaya.
Yeah. So actually the cause and hetu are not the same, because hetu always refers to the root.
It depends on the context.
And I think it's useful to talk a bit more about adhitana as resolution, because we know that it conditions, when there's the right resolution, it conditions whatever comes to be wholesome. And when we talk about adhitana,
stable,
it's stable. It means one sees the value in the teachings and not wavering.
Yeah.
Here it's, I made a note, one sees the value in the teachings no matter where and when, otherwise it's self trying to make it different, the moment of understanding. So it has to be with understanding, being firm to this moment. And it's a little bit like confidence, being confident about the value of the teachings, but being very resolute or not wavering or stable. Anything more we can say about it?
I mean, it's not changed.
Not changed.
Mm.
And obviously the more panya develops, the more adhitana develops with it.
Nina has one. Dependent origination.
Do you want to read it out?
Yeah. Dependent origination in relation to daily life and the present moment. It would be helpful if Ajahn can speak about this. Ignorance, yes, in daily life now. But then the following links we need considering more in daily life. It's not theory.
You want one sentence at a time?
Dependent origination from Nina. In relation to daily life and present moment, and the present moment.
Do we have to think the whole dependent original from the first to the last? It's not like the word, but it's the understanding. For example, one knows that as long as ignorance is still there, how can there be moment of understanding? So when there is understanding, only understanding can eliminate little by little ignorance, because it understands. So what about the previous moment which does not understand?
Can we really talk about dependent origination,
yes,
in daily life?
Now, avijja.
Right.
Yes, we are talking about that, dependent origination. Shall we go on until the end, or whenever it's there? One realizes that it's because of this. For example, ayatana. See? We talk every day about without the eyes I cannot be seen. So what? It's just daily. But the understanding is more important than trying to arrange in order.
But ignorance itself is not the same as the link between ignorance and...
Yes, but how can there be the attainment to the noble truth now? Anyone would like to jump there without any understanding? But one knows avijja is now. So without understanding of this moment, it's impossible to have no ignorance. That's why ignorance has to be eliminated from this to this to this to this. From moment of hearing to seeing to thinking in a day by conditions. And that is the only way to have it less. The other will urges or condition more and more attachment and ignorance. And this, how subtle it is. The path is just like this. There is no one, nothing can be done, only right understanding developed from hearing, considering, until it's ready to condition moment of awareness. With panya, from very weak panya, more and more and more. We don't know the gap, how long it will take from one stage to another stage, from being clearer and clearer and clearer. Because we can talk a lot about everything, but is panya, as we say, about ignorance, see?
It all comes back to this moment and mm-hmm. the understanding of that.
Yeah.
What was the rest of it after the first?
And only right understanding can know. Nothing can know at all.
Can you read the whole thing again?
Okay. And then ignorance yes in daily life now, but then the following links we need to consider it more in daily life. It is not theory. As Ajahn was answering that.
Yes.
Until it is moment of direct awareness. Mm-hmm. All this will bring or lead little by little to the moment of being aware with understanding. For example, we talk a lot about hardness, it's not self, it's there. But when it appears, no need to say like that at all. But the panya from hearing and considering, now working that way with other jetasikas to condition moment of direct awareness with understanding, all comes from what is heard, the panya of that level. So when there is more understanding from hearing, considering, when time comes, panya is there with awareness, direct awareness. No need to just try to think of the word or recite it or think about that.
We can begin to understand that without ignorance, yeah, there is nothing at all, nothing.
Yeah. When the curry is there, do you have to think of the moment you cut everything and pound everything and put in the the coconut milk? It's not that, because it passed all this so that it can condition the curry, the moment with awareness and right understanding. No time to measure, because it is just as it is that it appears.
Pasa is a far jetasika, right?
What do you mean by
very
far?
Very subtle, not easy to. It's not as gross as the other rupas or.
Pasa is not rupa.
No.
Contact.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, compared to sound or pasa, is relatively far.
And that which is hard to know is far.
Right, that's what I meant, hard to know. Like, unpleasant, somanasa, domanasa, is easily to notice.
More obvious, yes.
Yeah. So, and pasa appears so many times in the suttas about Vedana is conditioned by pasa. When pasa is not there, Vedana is not there.
And what about sanya? Farani?
Yeah, that's actually my question. So pasa earns such an important place in the dependent origination.
As aharapajaya, as important as being only aharapajaya. Can it be known?
Nah, only high level of panya.
Because you see that what is taught cannot be known by intellectual understanding. Cannot be directly known through the intellectual understanding. That which cannot be known by the intellectual understanding, can it be known by higher understanding? See, no matter pasa or sanyana, it's there. It's just like pasa. Who knows? Every moment, sanya all the time, when pasa all the time, when jitta arises.
We talk a lot about
no selection. Otherwise, the self is there. See, not easy to see the self because it's hidden, but it's there. And when we talk about sanya, see, sanya is I, remember any moment with sanya.
So we talk a lot about, and the texts talk a lot about both pasa and sanya, even though they don't appear, because in order to understand it must be there, it must be at each moment. The reasons why I keep thinking about the bird or this or that, or why this kind of feeling or that kind of feeling. So there must be pasa, there must be sanya, even though it doesn't appear.
Because you see that in the text it says that of khandas are the object of clinging.
Yes.
So includes rupa, vedana, sanya, Sankhara and Vijnana means everything. So how can that be object of right understanding, like Sanya? If there is no moment of understanding, the moment of thinking, because of Sanya is there. Right? Otherwise, there cannot be condition for such thinking. So it depends on Sanya at that moment to have what object as citta. Without Sanya, citta cannot think about that at all. And this sounds like theory, but when there is a moment of understanding, the memory, the Sanya, the mark, which is there, it depends. So no expectation for anything to arise at all. That's why even breath, see,
breath.
No matter one tries so hard to have it as object, is it that real one, which is conditioned by citta, which appears at moment when it arises and falls away? See, everything sounds in darkness, but when the panya is there, it can dig deeper and deeper, dig up what is there to be known.
Even when the text talking about the breath is touching somewhere around here,
that's what you call breath. But when breath appears, it has to be there or not? When breath appears as breath, is it not to be exactly there or somewhere else? Can it be here?
No.
See, that's why, no matter you say here, it is the moment when it arises and falls away, or the succession of the continuation of rupa, which is conditioned by utu already. And when one is trying to catch, or try to say that I cannot catch it, it's wrong. The self is catching, so it's gone. And the idea of self is there, trying to catch. But when it arises, you see that it cannot be other thing rather than that. But you don't have to call it breath. And from hearing, studying, considering, right understanding is there. Without that, no understanding of that reality which appears as breath. That is breath. No need to call it breath or anything, but it's that which one takes it for breath somewhere, here, see. But that is the succession of the rapidity of the arising and falling away of rupa.
And even this rupa that one takes for breath, maybe, like you say, maybe just the hardness or softness conditioned by temperature or...
But it's from breath. Succeeds breath, because breath is also with the utu, temperature, hardness and softness as well.
All combined.
Which can condition the next rupa.
Yeah.
Like the sound is over there, and how far it comes, depending.
What do you mean?
Can it reach Ayutthaya, this sound? Can this sound reach Ayutthaya?
No.
See how far it can reach depending on conditions. It's like breath.
What do you mean, how far breath can reach?
That's why we take this and this and this as breath.
Yes.
But the breath which is conditioned by citta, how short?
Yes.
And what continues is not the original one.
Right, what continues is just
but
softness or hardness.
But it's come from breath.
Right, the temperature in with breath conditions
right.
The other ones. So the temperature in that kalapa conditioned by citta conditions more rupas.
That's why the stomach up and down.
Yes.
And they take it for
because of
being aware of breath, but actually it's not.
Conditioned by temperature.
Sometimes when people get emotional, either angry or the breath tend to be more obvious.
Because of citta.
Because citta, right?
Yeah, what kind of citta is there?
Akusana. And
what kind? It depends.
Yes.
Just once in samsara, see? No more. How can anyone study and try to understand that which has gone completely?
And even then, like someone is angry and you hear the breath conditioned by the citta has fallen away instantly, and then afterwards the many, many other rupas conditioned by temperature. So what people point to as the breath actually is it's not breath at all.
Just take a deep breath. That's
yoga. Yoga.
Or take an exam, like a banana taking exam. Take a deep breath.
We call it take a deep breath, but actually how long does the rupa, which is the breath, how long does it last for?
So short.
And it's not just one unit of particle, many more, so they can appear as nimitta.
So when we talk about taking a deep breath, actually countless groups of rupas, some conditioned by citta's breath and some as by temperature, so many different.
So rely on conditions and the sammasi itself. Otherwise it's I again try to manage.
Try to think of something.
More attachment to the idea of self. Thinking that one knows breath.
Not understanding how very, very subtle the breath is.
And this part is not easy. This breathing, breath is not easy because...
What is not easy?
Because...
only breath or everything.
It's not easy at all. But usually people think they can control because like I can stop breathing, I can...
As long as the idea of self,
yeah.
One thinks that one can control, or one can make anything arise.
Thinks one can breathe deeply.
That thinking is conditioned.
And each of those rupas is conditioned, not by I.
And the nama is the nama, and the rupa is the rupa. More resolution? Resolution. Adhidhana. On Dhamma as no self, no one.
And when there is trying, like now, focus on what is real at the moment of breathing, then actually it's I trying to observe again. It's not understanding what's conditioned.
I used to observe the breath even when I was sleeping at night. But now, I don't think I even pay attention to breath now.
But that's why I mentioned that when people had a long background with meditation, even when they hear the right thing, they hear quite a lot, those kind of subtle moments of wrong practice can come in, like you think, I have no interest, and then, like you say, even when sleeping or lying down, there can be that kind of idea of I can observe.
It could be some accumulation of paying attention to a breath, and then maybe a few seconds just forgot.
We have tendency to cling to the self.
But even the first year when I listened to Ajahn, I was paying attention to the breath quite frequently. After second and third year, gradually.
But still some
letting go. Right, understanding each word. Let go.
Because the training was, did nothing but observe the breath for a whole week.
Otherwise, how can there be opportunity for direct awareness to arise when there is intention to pay on that?
And sometimes one can see it, like, for example, when we're talking in Taipei or Vietnam or somewhere, sometimes you can see people are listening, but actually they're also focused on attending to breath or something as well, and so it's a bit like a disconnect. So it's like they're listening or they're asking a question, but at the same time they're so used to some kind of remnant of following a practice or method, that still it's eye observing or focusing on the breath. Not the natural way at all. There's still the idea it's good to follow or good to monitor in this way. And it's different from if, for example, like we swim and focus on the style, or I do yoga and focus on the postures and the breathing, but no idea of any practice or anything to do with understanding or awareness at all. Nothing to do with understanding realities or the reality of breath at all.
But for yoga practice, to me there is still an idea of become a healthier self, you know, a better self.
A more wholesome self?
No, but healthier, like physically.
It's, so it's like, for me it's like swimming or walking or eating fruit rather than cakes. It's just the same. One has to maintain what we call the body, but nothing to do with any development of understanding, nothing to do with being aware of the reality of breath or anything. Nothing to do with having more, like we talked about, those six pairs of cheetahs, the lightness and the malleability and the soberness factors, nothing to do with that at all. Like if you eat healthy food, if I eat the papaya rather than the cake, nothing to do with having more lightness of cheetah and cheetah seeker. Actually, it's attachment to the...
Well, usually it's opposite of kusa.
But it's like when we go out for lunch and we eat tasty foods, or we do our exercise because we would like to keep the body well and healthy. The main thing is because of attachment. But it doesn't mean one stops eating healthily or stops doing one's exercise. But no illusion that it has anything to do with being a better self or anything like that.
Like a better shape for the body, that's still adaptive.
Not necessarily at all. Like if one eats to keep one's body healthy, it doesn't mean, or like one exercises to strengthen one's ankles, it doesn't mean there's any atavibhu at all. No illusion that in reality there's a body or an ankle or a self. Like when Tate puts eye drops to lubricate the eyes, it doesn't mean that there has to be any wrong idea that in reality there are what we call eyes. Yeah. So that's why the understanding has to come closer and closer to daily life and being natural. So life carries on just as usual. Eating healthy or unhealthy foods, doing good or bad exercises, traveling or whatever, but less and less wrong understanding of utter. So one can't judge from the outer appearance, like when people are doing their exercises, one can't judge from the outer appearance how much or little understanding there is at that time. And as understanding develops more in daily life, one lives so much more easily. It doesn't matter whatever anyone says to me about the exercise or anything, because for me, I know at such a time it's not because of any idea of thinking this is the reality of breath or body or something like that. Like when we talk about the bird this morning and we can discuss for half an hour about what the bird's doing, it doesn't mean there's, it has to be taking it for something or a bird in reality, but we can still talk about the bird. so very easy, very natural. But if someone has the idea of doing the yoga or focusing on the breath in order to have more concentration or more understanding or more awareness of the body, then it's quite completely wrong, even if it's just a little bit.
Yoga usually have a different idea of awareness, because when people practice yoga year after year, they begin to feel something, subtle feeling inside some part. They can feel something, so they say that's aware. Aware.
They can say many things. They can talk about dhyana or jhana or concentration, but anyone can say anything. It's the same when joggers or swimmers or anyone can say anything, but it doesn't.
But that's not real awareness.
Nothing to do with sati. And they don't understand the strong thing in some experiences or something. Like Azita and I, we have both done our yoga exercise for over 40 years, as long as we've studied Dharma, but you will never hear us talking like that. You just know it's a good kind of exercise, just like swimming. And we might, when we're swimming, we might conventionally say, oh, being aware of lifting the arm or the placement of the hand, but we have no idea this is anything to do with sati, even if we say conventionally, or being aware of where the hand puts, or when someone is placing the chair, we might say, oh, just be careful or be aware where you put the chair, but nothing to do with sati at all. I think it's a good topic to ask any more about any ideas about breath, or because you had many of these experiences before, or yoga or any.
Actually, I'm not thinking about breath for a long time. I have not think about breath.
Or yoga, or the ideas that you have.
Well, to me, yoga is attachment to a more healthy, healthy body.
What about having a massage for the foot? Same?
Yesterday, that was for a trial of see if it's get better.
Right, but it's just the same. To me, whether I have a massage or some acupuncture or swim or do my yoga, there's attachment to the body and the health of the body, but it's better than many other kinds of attachment. And while one has this body, it's like having a car. It has to be maintained. One has to eat, one has to stretch, one has to exercise. Like even a jam, she has her special exercises she has to do.
Yeah, I'm not saying attachment to the body is normal. It's very normal.
Yeah. Whatever we do, there's attachment. If you don't do the exercise and you just sit relaxing, it's attachment also.
Even the moving is
attachment. Even blinking.
Blinking. But for Arahant, they blink also.
But for us.
Yeah, for us, right.
Stretching the leg or anything.
Let's dosa first, right? And then lower back. Because there's a dislike of current feeling, and then there's a desire want to change.
Just different khitas, mostly akusala, that's all. Mm-hmm. I don't think about what's first and what's because they follow each other so rapidly. And the point you were making about the sound and how far it could be heard, because the sound that's conditioned by temperature, and then I think you mean and then many, many different temperatures condition more sound. So it seems like it's one sound, but actually countless moments of sound conditioned by.
That's why this sound can fall to the United States.
Yeah. Because of the temperature in each kalapa conditioning more sound.
Usually people just want to know the name, what it's called.
Like anything.
To understand the moment is there, or to just thinking about the name.
Like breath isn't there, or what is it? Remembering that sutta about vitaka and distracting thoughts, and they give examples of counting, like when someone is agitated, examples of counting to 10 and doing this and doing that, but they're just different conditioned dhammas. Like your example of taking a deep breath when agitated, but whatever it is, it's actually not a self who does anything, they're just different conditioned dhammas at those times. But there's the illusion that I can take a deep breath, or I can count to 10, or I can do my yoga practice.
It's quite amazing that thinking is conditioned.
All the time. I've got a point here, and I'm not quite sure what my question is, but anyway, it's about karma tanha and bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. So sense desire, craving, karma tanha, is craving regarding sense desire. This is a term for greed in respect of the five cords of sense desire. Craving regarding existence is bhava tanha, craving for existence. This is a term for greed for fine material and immaterial existence, accompanied by the eternity view, which has arisen through aspiring to existence and for attachment to jhana. Craving regarding non-existence is vibhava tanha, craving for non-existence. It's a term for greed accompanied by annihilation view. So, first of all, karma tanha, craving regarding sense desire. Does this include all kinds of attachments, all kinds of wrong views?
So clinging?
Or clinging. Maybe clinging is better, actually. Yeah. All kinds of clinging.
The word dharma, usually sensuous object.
Sensuous object,
usually.
Yeah.
Just because we change it to clinging, it's still clinging to a sensuous object.
Yes, but there can be...
After clinging, the second and the third.
Yes, but can clinging with wrong view about...
The second and the third.
The second one, clinging with regard to existence is bhava tanha. But here it says this is a term for greed for fine material and immaterial existence accompanied by the eternity view, which is arisen through aspiring to existence and attachment to jhana. So what about other kinds of...
It's precisely that the clinging to the satsapatiti.
And what is the reason why you say it should be clinging used, not craving?
What about craving and what about clinging?
Well, this is what we're just discussing, because I think usually they translate tanha as...
And what about the reality?
Craving and the upadana as clinging, but actually it's just different kinds of lobha.
Just understand the reality is
yes.
Better.
Otherwise it's very confusing. So talking about the second one, the bhava tanha, which
sasata
is sasata ditti.
And the third one is ujjeda ditti.
Ujjeda ditti. Yeah. So why, when they're talking about sasata ditti, do they just refer to it as greed for... Rupa and Arupa, Jhana Bhava.
Permanent. So the idea is just about life is permanent. After this life is still permanent, Sasata, and life is ended, no more, Ucheda.
Yeah.
two big different ideas.
So the sasata dhiti is just the idea of anything lasting, that's why it's eradicated at the stage of sotapanna. But I just wondered why, I mean, this is so common in the text, I see it again and again, that they talk about bhava tanha as the greed for rupa and arupa, brahma, existence and jhanas.
Kama tanha or bhava tanha?
A bhava tanha.
Bhava tanha, for being anywhere.
Anywhere, yes.
Any pain.
Are you saying because...
Like God, sasatatiti.
Yes. But bhava tanha, any being, it can be with or without wrong view, I think.
But specify sasatatiti.
Is it just not the one instance?
It's just one instance.
Mean
right.
To be a complete, exhaustive description.
And also, because there can be bhava tanha, like even the anagami still has bhava tanha.
So this is sasatatiti.
Sasatatiti, okay. So bhava tanha here is referring to sasatatiti, but there can also be bhava tanha, which is not sasatatiti.
Usually it mentions sasatatiti. The meaning is there, but it's not mentioned in every place.
Right, okay. But in other contexts, when it refers to...
Bhava tanha.
Like, for example, if we're talking about the asavas, and it's referring to bhava tanha, then it's just clinging to being, I think, because there's a different one, which is ditti, ditasava.
So it depends on...
The context.
Yeah, because it just talk about the three kinds of karma, clinging to object and to titi.
Okay. So the bhava tanha just depends on the context. Talking as we were this morning about jhana and kasinas, this quote is often given, and I always think it's very easy for people to read it the wrong way, like someone is doing something, as with so many things. Now, like for example, this is talking about anapanasati. Now the kasina preliminary work is difficult for a beginner, and only one in 100 or 1,000 can do it. The arousing of the sign is difficult for one who has done the preliminary work, and only one in 100 or 1,000 can do it. To extend the sign when it has arisen and to reach absorption is difficult, and only one in 100 or 1,000 can do it. To tame one's mind in the 14 ways after reaching absorption is difficult, and only one in 100 or 1,000 can do it. So we know there are just different conditioned dharmas.
Very difficult.
And so seldom, because it's so difficult, that these dharmas will arise. But because when we quote this, everyone takes it as being someone who does something, but actually we're just talking about how rare particular condition dharmas are. So is there any point in mentioning it, do you think? Or just depends on anyone's understanding?
Does anyone to be one of that?
Sorry?
Does anyone would like to be one of that?
Well, I think... would anyone like to be that? I think the issue is that because there is so much clinging to the wrong idea of self, people would like to be all sorts of things, but they
not
don't
to let go.
But they don't realize that actually it's no self involved. There are just different dharmas and nothing to do with me at all. So if one has an idea that I can do this or I can't do this, or this is for me or this is not for me, then the idea of self, the clinging to self, is there. But when there's less clinging to self, there's no thought or concern about it. Do you have any other comments?
I just think that can we spend our life, the rest of our life, to understand each word in the Tipitaka?
Yes.
To me, I have no interest.
Yes, no, right. Well, this is what...
You asking why is it put in terms of one in 1,000 sort of thing?
To show how difficult.
Yeah.
Yes, before the person who is inclined to, may be inclined to embark upon that without appreciating how difficult it is.
But even when there is the idea of I can embark on, or it's wrong view right from the start of whether I can follow this or I can do this. Or I can follow the
what about having just a little more kusala today than yesterday?
Yes, yes. Yeah. More, much more precious. Yes.
Yeah. And some people argue there are billions of people in the world now. So they who practice the samatha or jhana, they are meeting the requirements of one of every thousand.
Right.
They're talking about billion people. Now we only few thousand.
So they can be the rare ones.
Yeah, the rare ones.
There have to be some.
Who spend the whole life just for that.
But I think whenever anyone has any idea of spending life for this or undergoing this practice, it shows no understanding at all, because it is the idea of self from the beginning.
Just what is kusala and what is akusala, can it be known?
Right. Because even when people have the idea, I will follow a samatha bhavana, or I will follow vipassana bhavana, it shows an idea of someone trying to cope doing something, not understanding conditioned realities. I have a comment here that you made. So after hearing and understanding the teachings, there was no more development of samatha to the degree that nothing appears but the sign or mark of access or absorption, concentration. Could you say a little more?
For those who have intention to develop jhana.
But after hearing and understanding about dhammas, after hearing and understanding the teachings, you mean about samatha?
Yes.
There was no more development of samatha to the degree that...
After hearing and understanding, I have no tendency to do that at all.
No. After hearing about what is true and right, then no interest, no intention. To the degree that nothing appears but the sign or mark of access or absorption, concentration.
The nimitta of the object.
Oh, I see. Because what's the use? No value at all. Right. Who was it? One friend said they felt so sad that they had spent so many decades following wrong practices before meeting you, but it's all gone anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's useless to think like that. And I think, we're so fortunate because we were so young when we met you and started considering what is the right path, that even at that moment there can be mana.
One can see the very deep clinging to the idea of self.
Yes. Even if one thinks, so fortunate, can be there. Yeah. Moments of mana, moments of ditti, moments of kusala appreciation. So, different moments.
I think sometimes, Vincent, people tend to justify their passion for some particular pursuit, like yoga or like music or like it, by finding some deeper meaning in it, which to them justifies their obsession, shall we say, with that particular pursuit.
Also, there could be a longing for something deep, and then they are trying to get it, make it deep.
So I've heard people, musicians, for example, make similar kind of comments about their practice.
Or artists.
It has some deeper significance.
They need a noble goal.
Lessons about life can be drawn from this. Find it across the spectrum of activities. Yeah, it's all different kinds of trying to justify, I think, rationalize their intense interest in that particular endeavor.
The cooks, cooking or activity, or scientific discovery, or everyone has some idea that their pastime is something noble.
What you refer to as awareness of bodily, you could just say is sensitivity to
right.
bodily things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not any knowledge of particular significance. Mm. If one wants to make, say, the body a focus of study, of course, you're going to learn things about the body that other people don't know. But then so what? The question is it worthwhile knowing? Does it have some intrinsic value?
It can be actually more dangerous, because dangerous means that may be the path out. That's what I mean, dangerous. Because even Yoga Sutra talk about the sense of I is illusion. Mm-hmm. Yoga Sutra talk about there's no I.
Yeah, yeah.
And also talk about both dukkha and sukha.
Yes.
Dukkha.
Yes, all the same term.
And they also have other description of supernatural power when they were practicing asana. After that, they were doing some pratyahara, jhana, dhyana, right? And then they begin to have all the different supernatural power.
Right.
And then they talk about the highest jhana, and then like enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But actually, no understanding of anatta, whatever. So.
But the. It's dangerous because it's also talk about no I.
Yeah, no ego.
No ego.
No ego. No I.
It's still the idea of Atman, though.
Right, they have the idea of Atman.
Atman, yes.
Right. Right. So what that is Atman if it's not I?
That's probably what I mean, Atta.
Yes, but.
Like you said, no I, they understand no I, they say no
yes.
I. So what is no I if they have the idea of Atman?
They talk about there's something united with a big something big out there.
When it's something big, no understanding of anything. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about something big.
Like being one Purusha. With the world. Or...
Now I remember they talk about Purusha. A small element united with the Purusha.
I haven't heard that term. Purusha.
Yeah, Purusha. It's a long time ago, yeah. More than 10 years ago, I was studying the Yoga Sutra.
So this is why the Buddha was very familiar with the Vedic teachings and all these ideas, and he used the same terms and the same names, but the meaning of no I is quite different. Because in this case, because there's still the idea of Atman and there's still the idea of lastingness and essence, gods out there.
It used the word seer, a seer is there. So, but if you interpret seer as panya, then...
Why do you interpret the seer as panya?
No, I mean...
Well, the term seer implies someone with understanding.
So this is why the Buddha's teaching is subtle, because actually, like when people say, oh, you're a Christian, it's very obvious, it has totally opposite, nothing in common at all. But when it's these kind of ideas, like it's someone who's studied, we have a friend who sometimes comes to our discussion and he's an expert in Vedic philosophy. And a lot of the ideas, it seems on the surface it's some similarity, because they can talk about dukkha and sukha and many of the, and it's very easy for them to follow the language that we use. They understand all the terms and words, like a friend came from a yoga class last time and straight away she can follow all the terms that we're using because they're familiar with all the Sanskrit terms. But the meaning is different, because when you delve, always there's an idea of someone observing or someone that's watching or a witness or a lastingness. So actually it's no understanding of dark realities.
They talk about citta.
Even citta, yes.
That's why I was not satisfied. They only mentioned citta, vritti, niradaha.
Yes.
They only mentioned the citta one time, and I was totally curious about what is citta until I read Abhidhamma.
But actually they mention citta a lot. I hear citta quite a lot, yeah.
I mean the Yoga Sutra.
Yeah,
Yoga
Sutra. But in the other teachings they mention citta. So the Buddha didn't invent the word citta, it's there already in Sanskrit, but what about the meaning? Vimoka.
Oh, they also talk about Dharma shower. They talk about the moment when it's enlightened, it's like a Dharma shower. It's chapter 4.
Samadhi. Okay, another point about bhava. So, talking about paticca samuppada. With clinging as condition, there is existence, bhava. This is the cause, source, origin, condition for existence, clinging. And clinging to sense pleasures is a condition for the three kinds of karma, existence, bhava, and also for the three kinds of rebirth existence, so for the three kinds of karma, and also for the three kinds of rebirth, so to the remaining kinds of clinging. Thus, 24 kinds of existence have clinging as condition, but literally the 12 kinds of karma existence obtain here. What are the 24 kinds of existence that have clinging as condition? But literally the 12 kinds of karma existence obtain here.
Yes, the 12 kinds of karma. That which has done, and that which has produced the result, and so on.
Oh, that which has been done, what is producing and will produce?
It has, oh, not yet.
Okay, right. 3 times 4. And then 24 kinds have clinging as condition. I don't know what that is. And here, the bhava is referring to different kinds of karma and different kinds of rebirth. Why does it use bhava for, obviously why it uses it for the kinds of rebirth bhava, and for karma, why does it use bhava for the kinds of karma in this life?
Without karma, can there be bhava?
Right, so just referring to karma because it brings birth and vipaka. And maybe Nina's question, like when she was asking about different links as apply now, because we talk about avijja, and okay, obvious that it's now, ignorance now, but then we read about ignorance conditioning, sankhara, past karma, so this is ignorance in the past that conditioned past karma that brings birth and all the rest now. By understanding ignorance now, then we understand what ignorance was like in the past, and by understanding what kusala and akusala and karma is now, we understand what kusala and akusala was in the past. So I think this is what you mean by...
In order to understand the past and the future, there must be the understanding of the present one.
Yes, and I think that's why it has to apply now. So even when it's referring to past karma or past ignorance or rebirth, without understanding ignorance now, nothing can be understood about it at all. And also, if there's no understanding of birth of citta now, how can there be understanding of birth of citta, the first moment of life, of seeing or hearing or bhavanga citta now? And when it refers to the salayatana, the six ayatanas, it has to refer to, because we talked yesterday about ayatanas, but it has to refer to six pairs, because there can't be just six ayatanas, so it has to refer to six pairs, whatever's arising. Any reason why it says six rather than 12 ayatanas?
It can.
Whatever it likes, six pairs or 12. Or
six. 12, 18,
yes,
according to the context.
Usually when people, like in
Taipei that your sister, when people mention or bring up Ayatollah, it's usually, I find, the don't know anything at all about Ayatollahs, and in any, if you look in any Pali dictionary under Ayatollahs, they always talk about it like it's the same as talking about 18 elements or something like that, about objects, and as you mentioned, chittas and objects or something.
In Mahayana, they talk more about 18
dhatus. 18 dhatus. And when they talk about the 18 dhatus, is it correct? Or?
Not exactly about the mano dhatu and the mano vijnana dhatu. That part is not really clear.
You mean mano dhatu as well?
For the 18 in the dhatu. Mahayana.
I mean Mahayana today.
Right.
They talk about mano dhatu and mano vijnana dhatu.
No. They just talk about
18.
Yeah.
What are they?
They get 18.
They just use the 6 pair.
Okay, and then 12.
And 3.
So what are the 3?
They talk about, you know, like visible object, and then eyesight base, and then seeing.
That is 3.
Three. Yeah. And then the same until the hadaya, and then the rest of the chitta, and then whatever experience, the reality experience, the rest experience. Yeah.
Is there any word like mano dhatu?
It's still slightly different. Right?
What do they call it when they get to the heart? What do they call it?
They call that...
Hadaya. What do?
Yeah, they call that hadaya. In Chinese, they call that yi si. Hadaya, they call that yi gen.
Okay.
Because chitta, you translate as sin, and then hadaya, you translate as also similar to sin, so it can be confusing.
So they do accept that there is hadaya vatu. So they accept there is hadaya. They accept that other jitas arise at hadaya vatu.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
The rest of the 10 is in arrive.
Right. Right. So for the 3, so they don't have any idea about mano, vijnana, dhatu.
No, they combine them together.
They combine it. Yeah. Yes.
What to what? Combined together.
Combined to
mano dhatu and mano vijnana dhatu.
Yeah,
all those
chittas. All the rest of the chitta except all the 79,
yes,
excluding the 10.
And then they include an extra one of hadaya vatu,
yes,
dhatu.
Right.
And then they
as
have
the base, right.
And then they have dhamma dhatu. They talk about what is experienced.
Right.
So do they include concepts?
No.
Dhamma dhatu?
No.
Oh, not, they don't.
Not sure. This part,
no.
Not sure. Because they say 6 dust. Like the visible object is the one of the dust.
Dust.
D-U-S-T.
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 And why
in translation, it's called dust.
Why do they call it
That's
dust?
Why it's misleading. They don't have any moral. They almost judge that visible object is already polluted through the translation.
And what else do they call dust? All the objects?
Sound is also dust.
Dust. And tangible objects are dust?
Dust.
Aramana.
Aramana. Also dust. Like, not clean.
Not clean.
Maybe the translation is to, like, Chakupasada is translated as I clean rupa, like a pure clean rupa.
And what about seeing? Is that just
seeing? Just they're trying
just
to
experience
I consciousness.
I consciousness.
Yeah, see.
So I base is I am clean the dust.
Compared to a visible object, the I base is clean. Pasata, because they translate it from pasata as something pure.
Like parisudi or something. So they think of
they
the dust.
Ganjin. Ganjin. Jin. Jin. Pure.
So they think of the visible object as being the dust,
right,
impinging
dust
on the
pure
eye.
Right.
And do they consider the eye sense, because they consider it as pure, do they consider it
lasts, or stays?
No, they talk about impermanence also. But they talk about emptiness a lot.
But not empty of self, just empty, just emptiness. Yes, they like to say, because we have it a lot on our discussion, a lot of the Nagarjuna ideas about everything is empty, but actually whatever they talk about, it's conceptual.
I think his book has quite an impact.
Big influence, Nagarjuna. Yeah. Very big influence.
Do they talk about now? So where are those words?
In the book.
And do they talk about the five khandhas?
Yeah.
And do they refer to each reality as khanda that arises and falls away,
no,
or just a group?
Just a group.
Yes.
Nice idea group.
But actually, even most.
What are the five?
The same. They call
that.
I
see. Rupa khanda.
Yeah,
same.
And then samya. Wait.
Oh, I see.
Sankara.
The same.
Same word, different meanings.
Also the same meaning. We also talk about upadana khanda, the five pancha upadana khanda.
Mm-hmm.
But they like to talk about they are empty. All the five khandas are empty.
Empty.
But empty of what?
Yeah. They say there's nothing. It's empty.
Right.
It's empty. Yes.
And from Dharma Sutra.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. I missed that.
From
Dharman
Sutra. Yes,
five.
They just say it's empty, it's nothing.
The five come down empty.
Yeah. But, and if you say, is there any reality now, they say it's, you can't talk about reality because it's empty. And they don't distinguish between reality and concept. It's all empty.
Right, they think realities are also not real.
Not real. Nothing is
real.
They love to say, and they can always find one sutta, like there's the sutta in Samyutta Nikaya that they love to refer to, which is like Rikata, nothing is real, all is empty. And in a way, it's true, all is empty of self, and then there's the sutta they use, but compared to Nibbana, it's true, everything is empty, but they just say there is nothing, everything is empty, so they never begin to understand what reality is.
Inherent characteristic.
No. They hate the word sabhava.
Yeah.
Because they say sabhava means self.
When they say it's unreal, I just ask them, would you like to touch a fire? Or would you like to lose your head? No, we don't want to. How could it be empty and unreal?
Yeah. And how does it help anything to
say
everything is empty, everything is not real? How does it help one to understand anything about life?
It has a characteristic to make it different from
another one.
Else.
Yeah, nothing has a sabhava. And then there are strange ideas about nibbana.
Samsara is nibbana.
Samsara is nibbana. They love to say this. Samsara and nibbana is the same.
So everyone attains Nibbana each moment.
And they think that impermanence applies to conventional objects, not to reality.
Right.
Not to
like this is impermanent and this is impermanent and this is impermanent. And
the idea is to think of table as not having any self. Develop the habit of thinking of everything as being impermanent and not having self.
And the seeing?
And what?
And the seeing.
Seeing, well, they're not so interested in seeing. They're more interested in
actually
bottles.
Some people, even some people from Pa'au retreat, they claim they see the color part of the table.
Yeah, this is very common.
Would you like to discuss on just one word?
That's what we were trying to
even
do.
It's in the Mahayana, just point out one word and just talk about the understanding.
Like the Bana, the one person in China, he asked the Bana like seven times, eight times already, but few times I already sent him a link about Buddha talk about Nibbana is the destruction of Lobha, Dosa and Moha. It's the destruction of the defilement. And also there are some other sutta. But he still had the idea of Nibbana from Mahayana. So even the same
which
word,
means?
Just like Nibbana is samsara.
Samsara, yeah.
What do you mean by samsara? They mean, what do they mean?
They would consider samsara is also illusion.
But what are the samsara? What are they?
What are they?
Samsara. Birth and death, life, yeah. Life after life.
Mm-hmm. Arising and passing.
And what is life?
A moment of experience. A moment of experience.
So seeing is life.
Yes.
And the eye, face, the pasatarupa.
Talk about this.
Is it also life?
It is also life. It does not know anything. It's rupa. It does not experience anything.
How is it different from other rupa?
How it is different from the other rupas? It's, well, can we say it's kamaja rupa. It's different from the visible.
Do they have the idea kamacharupa as well?
I explained to them about the rupa because we mentioned about the chapter
I
of the
see.
Rupa. Talk about the four conditions.
Now we are talking about not Mahayana.
Okay.
But what Mahayana think about that?
Rupa.
Kamacharupa.
I don't know how they
do they have the word kamacharupa?
Yeah.
And what is that?
It's an essence, but they use, it's like a rupa formed from karma. They know like the body.
They don't actually, because it's exactly the same with these people from Mahayana background on our list, they don't actually understand what rupa is, because they think in terms of body and breath and hole and table. They think that when the texts talk about seeing visible object, they think the table is visible object, they think the table is rupa. They find it extremely difficult to really, there's no understanding at all of the distinction between concept and reality at all, so they insist that a table is visible object and a table arises and passes away. So even if you talked about kamaja rupa, they take the body as a whole as
they don't accept that, for example, ear consciousness experiences just sound, and then the sound is thought about in the idea.
Talking about the three kinds of manodhatu, so the three kinds of manodhatu are panchadwara, vajana, citta, and I think two kinds of sampatichana. Is that correct? Those three, but not Santirana, because Santirana can also function and experience object through
mind.
So these are the ones that can only experience through the sense door. Like, for example, yes.
And the Arahant smile producing, the smile producing citta, was it?
Yes, as Sutupata.
That's also in mind.
That's a kiriya citta, yes, through the mind, or so it's under manojnana dhatu, or other cittas, yes. But even those not from a Mahayana background, even those supposedly from a Theravada background, have just same problems with talking about dhatus and ayatanas and khandhas, and everything gets mixed up. And
I think that's even
worse. Yeah, yes.
Because when they talk about all the Abhidhamma terms, like they know so much.
Yes.
So the follower have faith in,
yes,
their knowledge.
So that's why there's no point in calling it Theravada or Mahayana or anything, because really this just not enough considering of what the point is or what the detail is or what the meaning of the words are. Like even the word kanda, everyone misunderstands. Why atana? And one can see even Pali experts who write and translate books can mix up all these terms.
But the one who translates must have right understanding of the word. I think that if you have the point of discussion ready at any time, we can invite him.
Yes, yeah. If we, any time. Yes.
I doubt he would come.
Yeah. And usually I don't know where he will stay, and we don't know whether he would like to discuss it.
We all have done our best and do our best, and that's it. Yeah. And like you say, a little more kusala each day, and help those who are interested to learn or share, and leave it to conditions. And good chance for equanimity.